Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know, in the early 60s, a television show came on CBS at 8:30 p.m. one night. And it said, this is an experiment in television. In case you don't remember it, that turned out to be one of the most successful television shows in the history of television. It turned out to be All in the Family. The producers were scared to death that people wouldn't understand it. They would be upset with it, but they went with it, and it exploded in popularity. Well, I believe tonight we've got the same situation. I'm Dr. John. I host a number of podcasts. They range from wrestling to the paranormal to pop culture. And I've got two new friends on here that I just met recently, and they've got an exciting topic. And so without any further ado, this is the Vulnerability Podcast. This is our first one, and we've got our two guests who are now our co-hosts. First of all, we have Matt Perry. He's the kind of the face of Vulnerability is Cool. It's a group on Facebook. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing well, Dr. John. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'm really kind of excited. And we have Tori Cadron from somewhere out in Arizona. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. We just finished a wrestling podcast. It was okay. Had a lot of my friends on there. A lot of my friends are professional wrestlers, and sometimes I'm a wrestling ring announcer. So I've just been into it ever since I was 14 years old. So it was just great. And tonight we're going to talk about, first of all, you've got an amazing group. I friend as many people as I possibly can on Facebook because I want to get the word out of the events. I've produced Comic-Cons and things like that, and I just like to get the word out about what I'm doing. And sometimes when you friend someone on Facebook, you start seeing some of the posts that they see. And I saw Vulnerability is Cool. I didn't know what it was, but I liked the sound of it. So, Matt, for those that are new to this, that don't really know much about this group, tell us a little bit about the group and what it's all about, because I see you talking, you know, some days, some nights, and it's really great. So fill in some blanks for us, for those of us like me that are new and those that are going to be joining the group in the near future.
Well, yes, thank you, Dr. John, for that amazing lead-in. And also I'm tuning in from the great state of Connecticut. I think there's a common feeling in society that we're spending so much of our time in our smartphones, so much of our time on social media. And then we look at our social media profiles and we see the inauthenticity or lack of depth that we all collectively share on social media. You know, we share that we bought a new car, or we share that we went on, you know, a trip to Mexico or wherever. But we don't share what makes us us. We don't share the triumphs or the tribulations that we go through in our life. That's what makes us who we are. And when we post these just accolades or, you know, these materialistic, purchases that we've gone through, it creates this sort of unrealistic expectation amongst everyone else, but also creates an unrealistic view of what life really is. And I think that creates a lot of disconnect amongst others. And so our goal is to try to bring a greater level of humanness to social media. So the goal of Vulnerability is Cool is to radically redefine how we use social media, is to make vulnerability truly cool, make people want to be vulnerable. And we can do that by each and every one of us, slowly but surely, expressing who we are, expressing what we go through, And we do that by having daily topics. Some of them might be really light and very fun by, like, what's your favorite pizza, what's your favorite pizza topping, where's your favorite pizza store, to things a little bit more depthful, such as explain some of the difficulties that you've endured during COVID-19 or what's a really difficult trauma you've dealt with in your life. So we do the lighter topics as a way of connection, as a way of gaining some level of cohesion within our community. And then the bigger topics are the ones that really go where we're trying to go. And we encourage people to express themselves any way they possibly can, whether that's through a live, whether that's through writing it out, drawing it out, posting photos. And so far, we've really gotten a lot of engagement. In just a short period of time, about 2 months, we're just shy of 1,000 members currently. And the thing that I'm most impressed by is we have members from 60 different countries all over this globe. So I'm really blessed about where we're at, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here, Dr. John. So thank you very much.
Well, great. All right, now, Tori, you're a member and of this wonderful group. And Matt told me that you were, in a lot of ways, responsible for many of the good things that happen here. So tell us a little bit about your involvement. Could you do that, please?
Some of my biggest involvement is I love being a support to Matt. I really believe in what he's doing with this group, and I participate as much as possible. I always put the posts out there, and I try my best to be as vulnerable as possible and really kind of go there and give an example of, what someone can do if they really embrace it and, try to just be as honest about things as I possibly can. And that is really, I think, my biggest contribution. But I also am very supportive on other people's posts and try to be encouraging, like cheerleader, kind of.
Okay. That's a great thing to do. It really is. I think for me, from what I'm hearing from you, from you two, I have in a sense, let the internet become an extension of me and an extension of my life. I was afraid to admit it, but I'm not afraid to admit it now. I've got several very close friends that I've never met. Okay? And I think it's wonderful. I've never met them in person, but they're as good of friends as I could ever have. If I can share a short story, and this is when I knew that I was totally connected with the internet. I was running a steampunk Comic-Con in Raleigh, and I had a really good artist draw me up a picture of Gomez and Morticia Adams because they look great all steampunked out. Do we all know what steampunk is? Matt, do you know what steampunk is?
I do not, no.
Okay. Jules Verne was the first author of a steampunk novel. It was really 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And it's this notion that what would have happened had we lived on steam power rather than electricity? And all these fantastic things, we would have been flying in Zeppelins, we would have gone to airports, there would have been tons and tons of Zeppelins you could fly, but no airplanes. It's a really neat topic. And I got interested in it because I was running a lot of Comic-Cons at that point. And I said, well, how on earth can I relate the innovative nature of the Addams Family to steampunk? Now, everybody can go look up steampunk, and you'll see, and it's really neat. So what happened was I looked through some documentaries, and I saw a documentary with this guy named Devin Tate. He was like 19 at the time. It was back in, I don't know, 20, oh, what was it? It was about 2010 is when they filmed it. And he seemed to know what he was talking about. Everybody else was so old, I was afraid they'd died. but Devin was probably 19 or 20 when he was on there. And so then he, I said, well, maybe I'll just contact him and see if I can interview him. I'm always about interviewing people. I love to interview people. So I did that. I sent him a Facebook message. He was on. He looked like he wasn't too much worse for wear. He looked like a normal guy. And so he responded very quickly. I said, may I call you? I'm trying to do something. I'm doing some research. So I sat and talked to him for about 2 hours. And at the end of that conversation, I said, Devin, why hasn't someone put you on a podcast as a co-host? Because you're awesome. And I told him, you're just awesome. He said, I've been wondering the same thing myself. I said, all right, let's do two test weeks on ScaryCast, and then you're going to be my new co-host. That was 5 years ago. He's still on ScaryCast. He's a great friend. He's married. We talk like we're friends. We talk all the time. Someone looked at me one time and I said, well, you know, I've got friends that I've never met in person, but I mean, I know who they are and we're as close as anybody else. They looked at me like I had lost my mind. And then I looked at them like they had lost their mind because I said, have you not been on the internet recently? That's what we're all doing. We're learning about each other and we're making friends. Nothing wrong with it. I may make some friends over in Scotland. I don't know if I'll ever get to Scotland or not, but it'll be nice having some friends in Scotland or wherever they are. And I think all you're doing is one big old connection and trying to get people to be more open and honest with what's going on with them and share those experiences. Does it sound like maybe I got the idea of it a little bit?
Yes, I would concur. I think the overarching theme that you laid out there is exactly what we're trying to achieve. And I love the point you just brought forth about you as it relates to your friend and just all of your friends, or a lot of your friends. And, you know, for Tori and I, it's actually the same thing. Tori and I are very close. We spend at least an hour a day on the phone talking. And yet I've never personally met Tori. You know, she lives on the opposite side of the country, and I'm very confident that we will be meeting soon. But, yeah, her and I, she's one of my closest friends. I am so truly blessed to have her. And we've never met. And I think that the more that we step out of the confines of our narrow thinking and believe that we can have the most amazing friends, whether we're in Connecticut or Florida or California or, you know, China or India, it doesn't matter. You can connect and be amazing friends anywhere across this globe, and we can thank the invention of social media for that. So let's harness that. Let's harness that amazing ability that we have with this.
Okay. I think that's wonderful. Now, Tori, can you respond? Matt said some very kind words about you, and I'm excited to get to know you now, at least through the podcast, and hopefully we can be friends. How would you respond to what he just said?
I'm honored by his words, and yes, he is absolutely one of my very closest friends, and I'm truly grateful to have him be a part of my life as well. And it's just, we bless each other's lives, and I'm truly, truly grateful for it. And, you know, one of the things that we discussed one time about this whole vulnerability thing is I feel like it's kind of a way of giving back to the world for all the blessings that have come our way, you know, being able to participate in it and help people maybe not feel so isolated, because the world has been very isolated for the last year and it's been very difficult on a lot of people. And I just feel so very blessed to be a part of it, and so incredibly blessed to be Matt's friend, and just honored to support everything that he takes part in, because he's got really good instincts and he's got a great big heart, and just absolutely love him to death.
Okay, that's a nice response, Matt. I hope you're very very pleased with that response. She sounds like a very nice person. You got lucky.
I absolutely did get lucky. Like I said, Tori is a massive blessing as well to me, and I 100% provide a favorable thumbs up on her response. So thank you, Tori.
You see, I guess I like this because I've been doing it for a while. I've got, let's see, I met a famous author. He and I became great friends. We, he's on my ScaryCast podcast once a month. He's got 20-some books. He's a best-selling author. I'm not going to mention his name until I'll mention it sometime. And then he said, John, I've got a friend. I've got to put you on to them because I just don't have time to talk to them. You have time to do more stuff than I've ever seen. And turns out this is a fella. He's from Florida. And he, when he was 20 years old, I think he's like 45 now. But when he was 20 years old, he was the spitting image of Billy the Kid. And I have we have a Facebook page, Modern Billy the Kid. And I'm going to be doing a documentary on him. We're getting ready to start raising the money with crowdfunding this week. We talk every day about our projects. We've got about three or four projects lined up that we're doing, except I've never met him. That's okay. I think he's great. I helped give him some advice so he could buy a car. I mean, it doesn't get much more personal than that, you know, helping someone buy a car. And, no, he's just a super person. In fact, I think I might try to get him on here next week or the week after because he's so entertaining. And you can just see, I mean, I'm building these great friendships directly through Facebook. And I don't know if Mark Zuckerberg thought about that, but it works. It really does. And I'm very happy. And I've met some quality people. And I really have. So now, Matt, where do you want this group to go? Okay, in 5 years, that's enough time for us to do something good to germinate and to happen. What would you like for this group to become in 5 years?
Wow, that's an awesome question, John. Yeah, I mean, I believe the possibilities are endless with this. And okay. I think that this is the start of creating massive dynamic shifts across, again, the utilization of social media. So I'm hoping that this group will go from 1,000 members to 10,000 members to 100,000 members to a million or more. That's the ultimate goal. And we hope to then take that and just really open our minds to the various possibilities, whether that means actually creating a vulnerability is cool app. So it would be a platform maybe similar to Facebook where people can really just let it all out there. Maybe it's an opportunity to have meetups with people. Really the possibilities, I think, really are endless with this. But again, our central goal is to not only change the way that we relate on social media, but then taking that and translating it into our daily interactions. So as you've mentioned, a couple of times on this call now about how you've formed new connections through social media, it would be great to say we had an app where people, are now in a network of millions of people expressing the most vulnerable parts about them. They can then connect. They can then see from a geolocation aspect, like, oh, hey, someone's fairly close to me. Let's get to meet them. Let's get to meet them in person, too. So that's kind of like my sort of grand vision at this point of where we're at and where I could see us going, a year, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. So I think I'm really excited at the exponential growth we've seen just in such a short period of time. And like I said, I'm really particularly impressed regarding just the geographical distribution of where our members are coming from. And that's why we're always encouraging people to please invite your friends. because if we can get, you know, 10 members from every, you know, existing member, this group can go very quickly, and who knows, maybe to every country in the world. So we're really excited about the opportunities.
I think it might be a good thing to pick one day a month and ask every member to get one member. That could be some exponential growth. Goodness gracious alive.
I really like
really
that.
Could.
Yeah. We can do maybe the first of the month or something. Yeah.
Yeah. The first day of the month, get a member. Don't get 10. Don't
yep.
get 20. Don't get 100. Don't make it a contest. Just get a member. I got three people off. I mean, obviously, I've got three people I want to join. I want to get to join right now because I think they would enjoy it. And they'll probably listen to my podcast. They're friends of mine and they're fans. I actually have fans. This is the craziest thing. Thanks to the wrestling world, I actually have a fan club because I have a podcast about wrestling. It's just, it's nuts. And I really love it. I've met a lot of nice people through wrestling and through the paranormal. And now I already met two nice people through this group, you too, and I think it's just great. So, now Tori, what do you think? What would you like to see happen with this? Oh, I know these are terrible questions, but I guess they show how vulnerable we can be. You know what? You guys need to ask me some tough questions like these. I don't want to be the only person asking tough questions. I think it's great. So, Tori, what do you think? What would you like to see happen?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would echo everything Matt said, but I would also add, I think, or maybe just, it's not even maybe adding, but elaborating, that I would love to see vulnerability in general becoming more normalized. Because I think that there's a lot of societal pressures that keep us from being vulnerable with people, and when we really get vulnerable is when we make the deeper connections with people. And that is personally what has changed my life and let me not be, but it's allowed me to be closer to people in general. And that in turn made me feel less isolated. And that was really an important thing for me. And it's definitely been changing my life. And I would love to see it be more normalized, where people are, you know, sharing important things that they think about, rather than just, you know, what car they bought or, you know, what's their favorite drink at Starbucks this week, you know, which is great. That's fun, but it'd be nice to see people really reach out for support when they need it and just know that there's a whole world available to them. That's what I really love to see.
Okay, now the
yeah,
idea of vulnerable. No, go ahead, man. What were you going to say?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to jump in and expand on that point. You know, I think over the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen an explosion of mental health conditions, addictions. All these things have been on the rise. And from my perspective, I think there's definitely a correlation as it relates to the explosion of social media engagement. And as such, we have these, again, inauthentic expressions of ourselves on social media, and then so many people are going and seeking these various forms of treatment, which are great. I mean, mental health conditions are a legitimate health condition, and absolutely people do need to get support, and support is available out there. Support is out there. But no one's talking about, so we're seeing that there's some issue here with social media, and people are like, well, let's go in your daily lives and go seek help. But not many people are talking about fixing what I view is maybe the biggest problem as it relates to the explosion of these health conditions. No one's talking about changing, again, how we interact on social media, because you think about it. if everyone's posting that they just went out and they got the new BMW and they got the new iPhone, they got this, it creates that perpetual keeping up with the Joneses lifestyle, and that creates a lot of stress. And again, it creates this false notion of what life truly is about. So I think our way of combating the growth of mental health conditions and, as Tori was saying, improving our interactions within our daily lives, we do that through social media. We change the way we interact on social media. That is a big, big component of achieving that, in my view.
I think we're going to have to get less afraid of people. It's okay to open up. It's okay to talk about what you got going on. And I think it's a hurdle for some people. It was a hurdle for me at the beginning. I said, well, why am I talking about this stuff that's so important to me that I don't want anyone to know about it? And then I realized, well, I don't mind it. I'm just some guy here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I'm just trying to make a living and trying to lead a pretty good life. And I just want people to know about what's going on. I mean, and it's a matter of being more open about what's going on with you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think another important component of that too is when you can be fully open, fully authentic, and fully vulnerable, you end up attracting the right people in your lives that can relate to you on a deeper level, that have similar interests. Because you just keep yourself bottled up, and I relate with that very strongly, what you said, Dr. John, particularly as a man in society, like, you're sort of taught to just, buckle up the bootstraps, suck in the emotion, just keep on moving, keep on, working, keep on, educational attainment. Just don't worry about your emotions. That's what a lot of men are sort of taught. So to take a step back and to go inward and to do the healing work and to honor it yourself. And when you honor yourself, you do so by being open, by being vulnerable. And like I said, when you do that, you do attract better quality friendships and relationships when you operate from that place.
Well, I think, our parents didn't do this, but they didn't have social media. I mean, my parents were very, how can I put it? They were very particular about who they hung out with, and we learned from our parents. But now we're having to learn something different. And I think I'm addicted to learning, okay? I got something to share with you. After a PhD and 3 master's degrees, I'm going back for a degree in horticulture at Trident Technical College in Charleston because I'm just into it. And I'm loving being a student. After 20 years of teaching college-level classes, it's great being a student. I feel so sorry for the professors. Golly, they've got me in there, and they don't want me in there. But I've never said a crossword or anything, but I've learned to see people from a different light. And I think it's good, and that's something that social media has taught us, or it's teaching us. How about you, Tori? Have you started seeing people differently through social media? Oh, that's a horrible question. That's a great one to ask.
I think so. Yeah, I think I see people differently. I definitely, as I've opened myself up more through sort of this vulnerability practice, it's actually expanded my world in new, exciting ways that I never would have expected. Made some amazing friends and gotten closer with people in my life, in my general local circle as well, because as I became more used to sharing things, even if I only shared it with the vulnerable group, then I was still more accepting of myself, more authentic with all of my interactions with everybody else. And I found that that really opened up all of these relationships. And when that happened, then I was able to see more of them because they'll show me more of themselves if I'm showing myself. And, yeah, it sort of keeps expanding like the ripples in the pond, you know, when you throw a stone in and it just keeps making ripples. And I just love that. And I think that it helps me to see other people differently as well because they're bringing it, and so am I. And it just helps make everything a more quality interaction, and I just love that.
Well, you know, television has taught us about this. I think the best example in the world is How I Met Your Mother. You got a group of friends, and you learn about, you see how they grow closer and closer, and they are vulnerable within their little group. And the insane popularity of that show tells us that people like watching things like that. But now we have an opportunity to do it. I mean, I'm doing it. I've got my whole circle of friends that are directly on the internet, and we're doing the same thing. In fact, I think it might not be a bad idea if some television producer would get the hot idea to basically take something like that and expand it to what we're doing here on Vulnerability is Cool. What do you think about that, Matt? Think we need to contact someone to put a sitcom on TV about a group
Absolutely.
Of friends?
Absolutely. We're
that,
open to,
that have never met.
To any. Yeah, we're definitely open to any ideas because, again, you know, we want to get this out there. We think this is such an integral part of improving our society. So whether it's, you know, doing a sitcom, whether it's, you know, doing podcasts, whether it's doing any form of media to continue pushing this idea, I'm completely game for them. And going back to what you said, John, I'm sorry. Going back to what you were saying, John, earlier about how, you know, our parents' generation or grandparents' generation society had its own, you know, ways of upbringing. And we have a sort of an additional challenge now. I think our society is increasingly becoming more multicultural. There's a larger disparity between, you know, wealthy versus the poor. And there's so much segregation within society across all these different lines. And this creates, so everyone's within their own little homogenous bubble, whatever that bubble may be. So when everyone's in their own little bubble, it's so hard to break out of that. And that's what's the beauty of social media. So to create a container where people, again, can go out and step outside their zone, which is something we haven't really even talked about yet, you can learn so much about so many different people. And you start learning that everyone at its core is the same, regardless of your ethnicity, how much money you make, your sexual orientation, your gender, everyone's going through the same thing. And the more that we recognize that, the more we can empathize and relate with one another.
Okay. I mean, I agree. On the religion standpoint, I have two groups of friends. I'm trying to get them together. One group, you know, I pray a lot. Now, I do, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and it helps me, and my prayers get answered. I also do ghost hunting, and I talk to ghosts through a spirit box, and some people think that I've absolutely lost my mind. They say those two worlds can't coexist. Well, they most certainly do in my life, and everybody needs to grow up. You know, there are a lot of things that seem polar opposites, and they're not, because I'm beginning to see how it works. And so it's just, it's really neat. You know, I do have a wonderful life. Me and Jimmy Stewart and Frank Capra in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, I've got a wonderful life. And I think, you know, the vulnerability thing is a perfect way to get people to, all you're doing is getting people to talk. Am I right? Just the bottom line, just get them to talk and be friends. Is that another way of looking at it?
Absolutely. And I love, it's very intriguing what you say about the ghost hunters. We actually have a lot of people in our group that's into spirituality, the metaphysics, you know, those sort of topics. And similarly, we have a lot of people from different faiths. You know, yesterday we gave a shout out to the Jewish community, for example, who just started, you know, their Passover celebration yesterday. So we have people from all walks of life in our group, and everyone gets along with everyone. That's the really cool thing, too. So, you know, again, it's pretty awesome to see the diversity that we have in our group.
Well, it is. I better not. I've got something I'll save till next time. I better check with you, Matt, before I put that one out. Okay. So. I can see that we can have more freedom. It seems like in the last year and a half, we had many of our freedoms proposed to have been taken away from us. But it looks like they're not exactly, and people need to be more open and just kind of let everybody be and not hammer on people because they have different views. I mean, you know. And that's another thing that I see about this sharing and becoming friends is it will keep us from being so polarized. We live in a very polarized time. Don't you agree, Tori, that people are very polarized with their views?
Absolutely. They are very polarized with their views, and they can be absolutely brutal to each other on social media. Like, I think more so if they're not really friends, you know, with the people, and if you can expand your circle, and if what I would love to see is if everyone could start to see and assume that everyone is coming from a place of goodness in their heart, that everyone is thinking and feeling for the best, you know, then maybe they won't get so triggered and, you know, just blast out something hateful. But that is something that we see a lot. And that's really tough. That's the sort of thing that makes it harder for people to share because they don't want to be the person on the receiving end of that. And it can be difficult to actually share something that you feel is true or important because you may be on the receiving end of that backlash, and that just really sucks. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be that person. Hopefully, most people don't want to be the one doing it either. Hopefully.
It's like I hate seeing politicians and they'll say something, and then then you see on the news, so-and-so got all this backlash over what they said. Well, you know what? Just lay off of them. They said it, think about it, and go on. I mean, and in general, the media is so polarizing that they lie. You know, they'll lie about things like that. I'm sorry, I'm not a media truster. And this is not media. This is more reality than media. I hope I didn't say anything bad, but, you know, you got to be careful about those folks. I don't know what they're doing.
There's a lot of misinformation.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
Yeah, I was saying there's a lot of misinformation, and it's important to watch out for it.
Absolutely. We actually talk about this. We're on Clubhouse. For those viewers who are not familiar with the Clubhouse is arguably the hottest up-and-coming app in this world. It's currently iPhone only. It is also currently invite only, so you have to know someone who already is associated with the clubhouse. We run events Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who might be coming into our group, you can always message me if you're interested in joining. However, on one of the clubhouses, we had talked about precisely what you just outlined, John, about the polarization. And the polarization, a lot of it, the people themselves are not to be blamed. It's the media sources. And you look at the content that is produced and shown in, say, a blue state, it's radically different than content that would be shown in a red state. Said, very, very drastically different source of information. Even things like TV shows can be different. I mean, we're almost radically different people based on what is being pushed out in TV and other sources. And that is a massive problem as well. Because it's hard to bring people together when there's such drastically different sources of information being put out there. And it's almost by design almost. And it's really sad.
Okay. Well, I agree. Boy, we're getting into some very polarizing topics, and I think it will be good to talk about them. Because right now all we can do is see them and see what's happening, but we have no forum to discuss it. I mean, everybody just wants to get mad, and whether they're on CNN or Fox News, one side wants to get mad at the other, and that's all they want to do. And CNN and Fox News love it because guess what? It's good for ratings. But it doesn't do us any good. All it does is make people mad. So I think this will be a good topic to just talk about things, and we don't have to be so polarized, and we can have a little bit of freedom of speech, which seemed as though for a while we tended to lose a little bit of it. But I'll bet vulnerability is cool will help us get our freedom of speech back. Don't you think, Matt?
We're really, really big proponents of freedom of speech, because that's an underlying tenet of vulnerability. You cannot be vulnerable in a society or in a world or a container that says you can't say this or you can't say that out of fear of hurting someone or offending someone. And I feel like we have a safe space. But I think a lot of safe spaces get very sort of, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that. That's not from my perspective, that's not a safe space. Because the people that actually want to speak their truth are now having the fear of worrying about upsetting someone, or maybe I can't say this. We have a pretty much an open policy. Now, if someone was using some really maybe abhorrent, hateful words that, you know, are sort of unanimously decide upon in society that they're unacceptable, that's a different story. But
right.
Beyond that, yeah, I mean, obviously hate speech is very different, but being able to speak your truth based on what you've gone through, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think so many times we just get so afraid to speak our truth, because we're afraid that other people won't align with us or will think a certain way. Like I said, if you're, you know, in a red state and you come out as a Democrat, oh my goodness, it's horrible. Or similarly, if you're in a blue state and you come out as a Republican, people are afraid. And I live part year in Florida. Florida's more of a red state. And then Connecticut's a blue state. And it's like opposite. People are afraid if they're not in the majority. So I think that the more we can encourage people to express what they really feel and what they identify with, regardless of whether it's in the majority approval, that's how we become closer. That's how we can truly relate with one another.
Okay. I agree. So I think we've all expressed some good ideas and opinions here, and we got about a little less than 15 minutes left. So this is what I like to do sometimes. I want to ask everybody, we've talked about some good ideas, what are you going to do to make one little piece of this happen? And I'll go first. I'm going to say, Matt, I want to start publicizing the idea of let's everybody get one member on the first of the month. And I can help grow, or I can help double. Within 2 months, I could help double this organization because of that. You know, maybe I can make up an ad. Maybe I can put some posts up. Maybe I can encourage some people. But that's something that I can go do. And I always like it. I always like it. I have this thing about getting something done. Tori, what can you go do to help Vulnerability is Cool?
I can.
No matter how small. Do what?
I can talk to people at the gym about it and let them know what it's done for me and get some people there to join and check it out and hopefully just start being, you know, more authentic and vulnerable in their own life.
Great. So now, how many days a month do you go to the gym?
I go a couple times a week.
Okay, so two or three?
Yeah.
So
two or three times per week. Maybe 12
times a month.
Yeah.
That's great. If you can convince one person every time you go, that's a lot of people. That's 12 people. And most of them you might know, and that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, what are you going to go do?
You know, I'm planning on doing a lot more outreach on the clubhouse. And like I said, the clubhouse is such a hot new app. And every day, there are thousands and thousands of new members each and every day. So I feel particularly emboldened given our success on that app as well. I was saying earlier today actually about creating another sort of group with the underlying mission, really, to get some new connections. We can sort of funnel them into Vulnerability is Cool. So I think for me, it's going to continue my presence in Clubhouse to create some additional projects so we can get more and more people in. And I think the other thing we talked about, too, is diversifying the groups of people that we're getting in there. So I think offering different rooms and different clubs on the clubhouse from, you know, a varying array of topics will also result in a diversity of different people too. So I'm excited to do that this week, and you know, if we're on here again next Sunday, I believe, we can definitely sort of touch base and see how that went.
Okay. So we've all got something we can do. And let's report back. Oh, that's the frightening part. We get to report back. And I think it'll be fun. I'll see what I can get done. I've got a lot of things to do. It's just one more, but it's great.
Not let me down.
I've got your back.
Well, this is a good way to she doesn't need this. This is purely a joke. This is a good way to get her to go to the gym more.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's see. Well, I'll see what I can do. Tori can see what she'll do. We'll see what you can do. And we'll round up. We'll have us a little meeting here on the podcast, and we'll see what we've done. And we'll talk about it. And that'd be kind of cool. It really will. I've never thought about having wide open public meetings about what we're going to be doing. I mean, this is a whole new world. It really is. So I'd like to thank my co-hosts. You guys have been wonderful. Now, the Maestro. Maestro is one of my best friends. He's a wrestler, and he runs a podcast. And he said, and what he does is he goes around the room, and everyone that's on the podcast gets to put in a plug or say something good or talk about something they're going to go do this week so that people know about it. So I'd like for us to do what Maestro does. I might even get Maestro on the podcast here soon. He's always into something interesting. So, and this is as interesting as it gets. So, let's go around the room and what you're going to do this week. What have you got that's exciting, or what do you want to tell people about, or just if you got good thoughts that you want to send to everybody. So we'll go with Matt first, and then Tori, and then I'll close up. So, Matt, what have you got to plug for the week?
Oh, man, if you don't mind, John, I think I'm actually going to request one of you guys go first so I can think about this a little bit further.
Okay. I'll go first. I know I'm gonna add to my list of things to do. Somehow figure out about promoting my little idea. I've got now something that you don't know. I've got about 14,000 people that are friends of mine in various groups for my various Comic-Cons and festivals. And I think I might do some advertising about Vulnerability is Cool on those, on some of those groups, and see about getting some new members. And now, by the way, we have a caller. May I let the caller on? We still got about 8 minutes. Is that okay? Is that okay, Tori?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'll – there we go. And hello, who's calling from 602-477?
Hey, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh, how are you doing?
Josh.
We got Matt and Tori. Now, do you folks know Josh?
Yes, we know
Josh. Is this Josh from Arizona?
It is, Matt.
Oh, there we go. I just want to make sure. Hey, Josh, what's going on, man?
Pretty good. I just thought that I would see what the podcast is all about and so forth, and I know I'm coming late into the game, so I lost track of time.
Well, that's great. We're glad you came on with us. Now, be sure to like our podcast page. We got to get the likes up as fast as we can. So be sure to like our page if you don't mind. Anyway, so now we know what I'm going to do. And
I just wanted to hop on real fast. Oh, John, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just – hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. Josh is another example of another really good friend of mine that I've developed through this group in just these short few months. And another example, I have not yet had the blessing of, meeting Josh in person, but Josh has quickly become a rising star in our online family. He is at our events every Thursday night at the clubhouse, and I've connected with Josh on such a deep level. And due to this group, that this opportunity has presented itself. So, and look, I mean, Josh is here again tonight tuning in. So, you know, I consider him like a brother to me actually at this point, even though I've only known him for such a short period of time. So I want to give you, Josh, a real big thank you for being here tonight and for being a part of our online family. You really mean a lot to me. So thank you, Josh.
My pleasure, Matt. And right back at you.
See, that's great. Matt, you got friends like Tori's got friends, and I've got friends. We've never met them, but they're friends. They're great friends. And they mean a lot
Absolutely.
To us.
Absolutely. I wake up in the morning and I get like 24 messages from, I think this morning I had 2 messages from someone in the Philippines. I had someone from France, someone from California, 3 people from Canada. I mean, like, this is awesome.
Well, that's great. Do we have any South Park fans?
Definitely.
Former.
Do what?
I am not a South Park fan, though.
No. Why not?
I don't know. I just never really got too into those type of shows.
You see, it taught me that we can all make fun of everyone equally. Everybody's equal. It's the truth. It's great, and that's what I like about South Park.
In that case, I may have to give that a second shot since those are kind of our
right because
our
we
values,
can all
right?
make fun of everybody equally, and we can laugh about it. We've got in our culture today, we've got to learn to laugh. Josh, don't you agree with me? We got to learn to laugh more.
I definitely agree with you.
Okay,
Absolutely.
Good.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel like for anyone who's seen my lives, you know, some days I really push the envelope of vulnerability. But on the days we're having some fun and light topics, I'm sure Tori, Josh, and you, Dr. John, if, you know, depending on how many lives you've seen, I go on there and I try to get people to laugh. I try to lighten the mood and try to bring people together through comedy. So I think that's an important value for sure, John.
Okay. My humor is not always the most fun, especially in my other podcasts. You should hear the things that I try to make sound funny. They don't work, but everybody laughs at my feeble attempts to do that. So that's all right. So anyway, all right. So we know what I'm going to do. We kind of know what Josh is going to do. Matt's going to do. Tori, what have you got to plug for this week?
This week I have a lot going on. I got 2 roommates moving in, and that's going to be really fun. But I'll probably be going to the gym at least 2 times this week. So I'm going to talk to people at least 2 times this week and see if I can open some people's minds a little bit.
Good. Tell them to listen to our podcast. We've kind of had fun. We're going to have more fun because I always figure the first podcast is when you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. And we now have a direction. We now have some direction. Now, Josh, will you join us next week on the podcast?
I will actually be out of town. And
okay.
Where I'm going to be, I don't always get a whole lot of signal. So I will be taking the week off. Sorry, Matt.
Okay. Well, we'll all make an effort to be on next week. We'll all probably chat with each other this week. And that's the British lady saying it's about time to say goodnight and ride on off into the sunset, and we'll have a great time. So, well, guys, I'll be in touch with everybody. Y'all be in touch with me. Yes, I'm from the South, so I say y'all. It's just part of it. So, Tori, you have a good one, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
All right, Matt, work hard. It's good for you.
Thank you, Dr. John. I really appreciate your time this evening. And I also want to thank Tori as well for coming on tonight. And also big thanks to Josh for tuning in. Thank you, guys.
All right. Josh, you have a good – Josh.
Yep. Have a great night, guys.
Well, look, thanks, everybody, for being here on the inaugural Vulnerability Podcast. We'll see you next Sunday night at 11 p.m. Thanks. Bye.